This is going to be a little different kind of sermon. And as I said, I'm going to preach on this for 2 weeks because I'm going to talk about some things today that you're not going to get it. Okay? Matter of fact, you already know so much more in your head than you're living that you're going to have a hard time getting this in your life. You see, if we ever match what we know with what we do, we'll have victory. What we do is usually nothing, and what we know is usually a lot. And if there's a wide span between what you know and what you do, you're not living in faith, you're living in unbelief. So what we've got to learn to do is live with a word from God. When God gives you a word, you need to walk in it and act as if it is so when it's not so in order that it might be so. That's called living by faith. You see, faith is not a leap into the dark. Faith is a walk into the light. It's what you know is true and you stand in it. So this morning, I want us to think about that. And as I said to you during the offertory time, victory is having said about you by others what the Bible has written about you in its pages. When people begin to say about you and about us what the Bible has written about us, then, bless God, we're walking in victory. Amen. But when they just say, well, you know, the Bible says this, but your life is like, that's hypocrisy and unbelief. We've got to learn to live with a word from God. Jesus is being tempted in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and the devil comes against him with 3 temptations. And that first temptation, he said to him, you know, if you're the Son of God, tell these rocks to be made bread. And Jesus answered and said. Now, this is the verse when I preach in a Bible conference like I'll do tomorrow night outside of Jackson, Mississippi. There'll be young preachers that'll be there, and they'll come up to you, and they'll ask you to sign their Bible. I've always been a little uncomfortable with that, putting my name in the front of somebody's Bible, but they just like to do it, and they got names from everybody in there that comes to these conferences, and they ask you to sign your Bible, and every preacher, if you sign your Bible, you got to have a verse that you sign in there, you know. This is my verse right here. Man shall not live by bread alone. Just said to Jesus, turn these stones in the bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what I signed. Ted Traylor, Matthew 4:4. You don't live by bread alone. Now, bless the Lord, we got a lot of preachers looks like they're just living by bread alone. That's why our insurance is way high in Southern Baptist life. You don't live by just what you take in. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it takes faith to match your walk with God's word. That is the faith encounter. Faith is the God-endowed ability given to every child of God to convert divine truth into present reality. The American church needs a revival of faith. Now, I want you to understand today, revival is not God's standard for the church. No, sir. We come in certain seasons when we need revival and stir, but revival's not the standard for the church, but rather revival is the process through which the church and the children of God are restored to their splendor and their God-given glory with Jesus in them. And when revival restores the splendor and glory of God, then we learn to walk in spirit-led. You're looking at me as the proverbial calf at the new gate. You won't ever get this in 30 minutes today. That's why I'm going to preach about it again next week. We've got to move this church into a faith walk where when we understand what God says, we discount it as it's so, even when you can't see it, in order that it might be. Thank you. Somebody help me here. If teenagers can get this, it'll revolutionize their life. If mamas and daddies can get this, it'll absolutely change your life. Now, I want to show you four things the Bible says about us today. Now, these things are true. You may not believe them. You may not feel like they're true. But I'm here to tell you what I'm about to tell you is true. It's true right now. It was true before you got up this morning. It was true before it started raining. It'll be true when it quits raining. I'm just telling you what I'm about to tell you is true every time. It is true. 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 You okay? Yes, ma'am. All right. Y'all look right here at me. All right. Amen. Here we go. Four things that are true. You ready? Okay. Here we go. I've been in a fight all week. I have. I've been knowing what's coming this morning. I've wept more this week than I've wept in a long time. I sat on a plane reading the Word of God, crying, people looking at me like I was an idiot. But I'm telling you, God has just done a fresh thing in my life this week. And I've just started counting things that just so. I went into my house Friday night, and I went to pull out a drawer, and when I did, it didn't stop, and I pulled it all the way out. And all the silverware just went everywhere. And I just said, well, glory to God. I did. And I just laughed out loud. Now, if you know me, that is not my natural inclination. I did. Glory to God. And my son came in, he heard, he said, what's going on? I said, well, just having a fall. I said, tell you what, let's do. Let's don't wash them. Let's put them back in there and see how long it takes her to figure it out. 20 minutes. Who's been messing these spoons? Now, my natural inclination would have been to get angry and mad. Then last night, we decided to order us a pizza, and I said, hey, I'll go get it. So called it in, went down to one of the deals. There's a guy standing there, and God didn't send me down there to get me pizza. He sent me down there to see this guy. And I went in, and I'd already called mine in. They said 20 minutes, and that's good. And so I'm right there ready, and they're running around crazy. And then another boy walked in after me, and he stepped right up in front of me, and I knew him. And he's from the children's home. He's ordering pizza for all those kids. I just wanted one. I'd already called. I knew mine's going to be sitting back there cold. But they started waiting on him, and of course he wanted this and that, and you know, and this and the thorny thing. I'm just back there just saying, bless God, what is going on? I said, okay, Lord, why are we here? What are we doing here? So I've just decided that I'm just going to walk by faith. And I'm just going, you know, what good does it do to get mad at an 18-year-old girl with pizza dough in her hair? It ain't going to help you. So this boy standing there next to me, and he looked at me, and he's, well, he's tattooed on his neck here and a big thing around his shirt, you know, and he said, I know you. I was afraid you was going to say that's what I said, you know. And I said, yes, I pastor Olive Baptist Church. He said, I've been looking for preachers. And he began to tell me his story and pour out his heart. God didn't send me down there to get a pizza. God sent me down there to be a man of God to somebody who's hurting. What we got to do is decide, are we going to be what the Bible says about us? Are we going to walk in soul power? Are we going to walk in spirit power? See, soul power is a mind, will, and emotion. I want my pizza, bless God, and I want it now. I ordered it, I called in, you told me 20 minutes, and I'm here, and I got money. That's what soul power says. But spirit power says, now just why has God got you taking up space and breathing? I may have something greater than pizza on my mind. I could have got mad, and both the people from the children's home and the old boy needing a witness could have said, boy, what the Bible says about him, it ain't true. When they began to say about us what is written about us, then we've got victory. Well, let me give you four things the Bible says about you. I could give you 100, but let me give you four. Number one, the Bible says you're saved. Saved. If you've trusted Jesus, the Bible says you're saved. And in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, you probably won't have time to get this, but just jot it down. Titus 3, 4 and 5. Now, I'm a little slow this morning because I got a brand new Bible. Genesis fell out of my Bible last week. And I had to buy a new one because if you lose the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you're a liberal, and I couldn't be that, all right? And Genesis fell out of my Bible, so I had to get me a new book. And so the pages are still kind of sticky, you know. But the Bible says in Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He saved us not by what we did, but by what He did. Let me tell you, friend, I'm saved, saved, saved. How do I know? The Bible says I am. Therefore, I am. But not only are we saved, the Bible says we are secure. Secure. Amen. Romans chapter 8, in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. You know these verses. Listen to this. Romans 8, 38 and 39. The Bible says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor pizza places, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. I added that other part. We'll be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to hear me. When you get saved, you can't ever get lost again. Never, ever can you lose your salvation. You say, well, I don't feel like that. I don't care what you feel. It's just what God said. And when you begin to match up what God said with the way you walk, you've got victory. I'm saved. It's pitiful how saved I am. I am saved, saved, saved. And I am secure, secure. See, thirdly, the Bible doesn't just say I'm saved. It doesn't just say I'm secure. The Bible says I'm a saint. It does. And if you're saved and secure, you're a saint. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Oh, yeah. Ephesians 4, verse number 12. He tells us that He sent apostles and prophets, pastors, evangelist, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Somebody asked me, so what kind of deacons you got? I said, all saints. Amen. Somebody said, what kind of staff you got? I said, all saints. See, we've let the world define saint. Saint for the world is somebody that's done a miracle and never sins. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The word saint is the word hagios in the New Testament. It means a holy person. And the Bible says when you get saved, you're a saint. It says that you're secure. And number four, the fourth thing I want you to know this morning by way of introduction. That not only does the Bible say I'm saved and I'm secure and I'm a saint, it says I'm a priest. I'm a priest. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6. You can turn there and see it. The Bible says, I'm a priest. When you say, when I grew up, now a priest was a guy in a black suit with his collar on backwards, and, you know, that's a priest. Well, that's one way for the world to define it, but that's not the way the Bible defines it. A priest is a man or a woman or a saved individual who is a go-between, A priest is one who can grab God and his supply with one hand and man and his need with the other hand and bring those two things together. That's what a priest is. They can get hold of the supply of God, the need of man, and bring them together. Now you say, well, preacher, and I believe all that. I believe I'm saved, I'm secure, I'm a saint, and I'm a priest. Really? You really believe that? So, see, belief's got three levels. You can believe it in your head. That's intellectual faith. Not worth a dime. You can have emotional faith. You can feel about that. Not worth a dime. The third plane of faith, and the only place where if you've really got Bible faith, it's not intellectual, not emotional, it's volitional. That's when you begin to take action on what God's Word says. So when God says that you're secure, you just are. And you walk as if it's so when it's not so in order that it might be so. It's not jumping into the dark. It's walking into the light of revelation. Boy, you're not getting it. I can tell. Okay, here's the sermon. It's not long. But there are three things you've got to do if you're going to learn to walk by faith. Three things have to happen in your life and in mine. They all happen to Jesus, and this is how we walk in faith. Number one, are you ready? Say amen. Amen. That's dead in here this morning. I've been fighting the devil all week. I'm fighting him now. But he doesn't win. Why? Because the book says he's a loser and a liar and a lunatic. I'm a victor. So that doesn't feel very well. I'm telling you, I'm not walking by how I feel. I'm walking by what God says. That's faith. So you just begin to count it so. It's not so that it might be so. The preacher, that doesn't make sense. It may not to you, but it does to this book. All right, if you're going to have faith, there's three things got to happen in your life. They all happen in the life of Jesus. Number one, you've got to live, first of all, a life of submission. Now take your Bible and let's all turn to the Gospel of John and let's see John chapter 4 verses 32, 33, and 34. John's Gospel chapter 4 verse 32. Look at this. John 4 verse 32. If Jesus needed this, we need this, and he walked in a life of submission. Remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if you're getting ready to go to lunch, go ahead. But you're never going to find your need eating lunch. Look what Jesus said, John 4:32. He said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Can't you just see old Peter down there saying, what's he eating? You know, has he got a McDonald's in his back pocket? What's going on? Somebody give him fish and bread. And Jesus said in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You will never live in faith if your first agenda item is your life. You've got to bring everything you got in submission to the will of God. For some people, that means this fall you're going to have to give up your football tickets. Yes, sir. For some people, that means you're going to have a lifestyle change. You can't ever go into that place again. Some of you got things in your hand, you're going to have to lay it down. Some of you got meanness in your heart, and you're going to have to say, I can't be mean anymore. Why? Because God's not in it, and I've got to lay that down, submission, because I know that's the will of God in my life. You'll never be a man or woman of faith until you come, first of all, to a life of submission. I mean, all of your life given to the Lord. In submission. See, we think of the word submission, we automatically go to wives. Submit to your husband. It does say that, but when you get to Ephesians 5:25, it says submit one to another. And before all of that, it tells us to submit unto the Lord. You see, you're going backwards if you think you, ladies, if you can start with submitting to your husband, you'll never do it. Till you submit to Jesus, you'll never submit to your husband. Let me tell you, guys, you'll never submit to your wife in submitting to one another till you submit to the Lord. Why? Because I know you. And there's grade A flesh in this joint. I have people all the time, they say to me, say, you know, down at Olive, they got so much talent. Well, whoop-de-doo. That's soul power. But when talent gets in submission to God, oh, now we got spirit power. Amen? And when the Spirit of the living God, look right here at me. Don't worry about anybody else. Look right here. Look here. There's all kind of distractions in this room this morning. There's physical distractions, there's demonic distractions, all kind of distractions. You stay right here, you're going to miss what God's telling you this morning. You got to get in a life of submission to Holy God. Amen. I mean, everything sold out to the Father. Your will is not to eat what you want. Your life is to eat what God says eat. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always taste bad. I'm telling you, God brings sweetness to your soul. But not only do you got to live, number one, a life of submission. Secondly, you got to live a life of renunciation. Renunciation. You say, preacher, I don't know what that word means. Well, good. Well, look in John 5 and I'll show it to you. In John 5, in verse number 30, look what Jesus said. This is Jesus now. This is not me. This is Jesus. Jesus said in John 5, 30, I can do, say that word out loud, on my own initiative, holy cow, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We must renounce our own ability. Do you know when a preacher gets to the place to say, and he can't preach on his own, he's right where God's got him ready to be used. Folks start, boy, you're good. We have teachers say, well, you know, you're just the greatest teacher in the world. You know that's not so if you live in a life of renunciation. You've renounced your own capability, and you said the only only ability I got is the thing that Jesus initiates within me and through me. A life of submission, a life of renunciation, and thirdly and lastly, you're never going to live a life of faith till you live a life of action. Action, action. You must begin to act on what God has already said. Now you can't act on any action, but you got to act on what God said. You can't just go out and start saying, well, you know, I'm going to believe God for that. No. You don't just start naming it and claiming it. You only believe what God's initiated. And when God initiates it, you can stand it. One of the greatest illustrations of that in all the Word of God is found in the 11th chapter of John. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and word comes to him. They say to him, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. And he's going to die. They say, well, Lord, we ought to go. No. We're going to wait. He waits 2 days. Lazarus dies. He finally shows up. The girls come running out to him and say, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He said, this death is to the glory of God. Now watch this. God had already, the Father had said to Jesus, he's going to live again. And Jesus went down to the home of Lazarus to act on what he already knew was going to happen. Now, if you've got a problem larger than raising the dead, God's not adequate for you this morning. But if your problem is smaller than raising the dead, you've come to the right place. And he goes down and he says, Lazarus, come forth. I said, now, Lord, don't be doing that. He said, he's been in there 3 days. He's already stinking. He said, move the rock. Move the stone. Lazarus! And the Bible says he came stumbling out, bound hand and foot. What is that? He was wrapped up in grave clothes. I mean, you just see this corpse come hopping out of there. And Jesus turned to the unbelievers and he said, you, loose him, let him go. I'd love to have been there any day in Bible life. I want to see that been my day. I want to see that Pharisee step up and say, I'm going to undo him and help him. This man been dead 3 days and he's going to let him go. Now watch this. We got people bound up in sin all over this town. And in this church we get bound up. But I'm here to tell you, God can loose you and let you go. Amen. He can do it. We got folks all over this church been bound up and God's let them go. There was a girl came last Sunday. I'm going to baptize her at 11 o'clock. She was all bound up and God let her go. I can't wait for 11 o'clock. Get to see her baptized. These girls over here in the Karis house. The Bible says they're saints. Well, you ought to know them before they found sainthood. They weren't. Guess what? You weren't either. Matter of fact, you was just as lost as they were. Matter of fact, you was probably worse off because you had a better life and your own righteousness builds a mountain higher to get over than unrighteousness builds. That's right. See, we get to thinking we're so good, we're close to God. No. Unrighteousness helps us, oh, God, help me. But when we get righteous, we begin to say, well, you know, I'm not far from him. Oh, yes, you are. You're just as lost and bound in self-righteousness. And God said, loose them and let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. When people begin to say about you what the Bible says about you, you have found victory. Anybody calling you a saint this week? Anybody say, that's a saved woman? Anybody saying, boy, he's secure. He just doesn't fret. He just trusts the Lord. Anybody saying to you, boy, I need help, so I'm going to go to somebody I know can get hold of the supply of God. I have some people ask me all the time, they say, but preacher, why is it that people come asking me for help? Let me tell you, when people want help, they want to find somebody that can get hold of God. They're not just looking for some any day church member. See, if you get sick, you don't just ask anybody to pray for you. You begin to ask people that can get hold of the supply of God. Amen? And cry out and grab the supply of God and the need of man and bring those things together. For the just shall live by faith. Now, this morning, under the mandate of God's word to me for this service, we're not going to give a come forward invitation, but our encouragers will be down here at the front. And when we dismiss here in a minute, if you want to talk to somebody, to pray with somebody, you just walk down here and I'll be here. If you want to join this church today, you come down here and I'll be here. If you just want to come to this altar and pray, you can come about your faith. Today, when the world begins to say about you what the Bible has written about you, then you've got victory. That wouldn't be a bad thing to write in the front of your Bible just to remember from time to time. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the stirring of the Spirit of God within the singing time of our worship. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to count it so when it's not so in order that it might be so. And help us not live just by bread alone, but by every word and promise that comes out of your mouth. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.